The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show. We have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is 20 best ways to find off-market deals. But before we start, I just want to say, hey guys, checking in with you just to see where you're at and how things are going in your real estate investing efforts. On our side, we are still looking for that 100-plus apartment, making offers, doing everything we have to try to find the great deals. And some of the techniques that we're going to be talking about today in today's show are some of the things that we're employing to try to find those great off-market deals. Also, we just want to remind you, too, that if you do refer a property to us that we end up purchasing, we do have a very handsome finder's fee for those who do that. Also, we're always looking, too, for people who want to sponsor our apartment deals, too. And if you want to sign up to either be an investor in these projects or to sponsor some of these deals, get a hold of us through our website at olddogsreinetwork.com. Well, let me go ahead and get started with today's show. I got a lot to cover, so I'm going to try to get through it as quickly as I can. Today's market is really different than the market that I first got started in almost 3 years ago. And I think one of the things that is really different and unique is that this dynamics have changed. You know, since the recession, about 10 years ago, people started investing in a lot of real estate, whether it's single family homes or apartment buildings. The market has been very hot for the last 10 years. And because of this, institutional and foreign investors are paying a premium to obtain properties, and especially multifamily properties, and even offering more than the asking price. There's been very heavy investing over the last 10 years, and I'd say even within the last 3 to 5 years, it's been extremely aggressive. And properties have appreciated significantly, and owners now are seeking to sell, cash out, and reap their profits. And there are also those that may have large balloon payments due or need to pay investors. So a lot of activity is going on right now. That means there's a lot of cash out there to go into projects, but the number of projects is limited. And at the same time, there are a number of investors who are trying to do 1031 exchanges. And because of the narrow window and the competitive nature of the market, that they're ending up paying more for properties than they might just because they're trying to meet that buy deadline. So what can you do during times like this, whether you're investing in smaller properties or larger ones? First off, know that this is a time when you have to shift a little bit of your strategies here. First, know that there are deals out there. You just have to dig a little deeper and try a little harder. Some are changing their criteria. We are not doing that. We're sticking to what we set out to do. But some have done that, and they're buying smaller properties. They're going 30 to 50 units, for example, in the multifamily area, staying under the radar of some of the institutional and foreign investors that are driving prices up. So they're looking more at mom and pop type of things. So what we're doing during this time is just making sure, first off, that we are prepared, that everything that we have is in order, our finances, credit scores, that we have secured financing, that we are securing our partners, our team members, KPs, sponsors, etc. And also, you know, making standing steady on our criteria. If there is anything to adjust, you know, it will be to make it a little bit refined, but standing firm on what we set out to do. And then identifying and researching your top 3 to 5 markets. That's what I would really make sure before you even get started. We're focusing on direct-to-seller targeted activities, and that's where most of us, our efforts are being directed. So here are 20 different strategies you might want to consider for those of you out there trying to acquire off-market deals. Number one, broker pocket listings. Now, this is the most common, and this is really, for many investors, their main source of deals, especially those that are experienced and been doing this for a while. But it's especially tough right now for newbies trying to get into the market because, they're more... I would say if I were a broker, I'd be giving it to Sure Things, because if you've got a property that's a little under market, for example, you want to be able to give it to somebody that's going to be able to do a quick transaction and get an immediate return. So newbies are going to be a little bit limited there. Once you buy and are successful, you know, pocket listings come a little bit easier to you. So for the newbies, I would say that's probably not going to be your main. If you do want to target brokers, and I think you should always be talking to brokers, but you might want to move to smaller boutique type brokers, not those that are members of a major franchise where they're going to be less flexible. Try to find who are some of the smaller but active brokers in those top markets that you've targeted. Number two, wholesalers. Wholesalers have always been active. They're especially active right now. They do a lot of the preliminary things that we are doing in our direct-to-seller activities. They're doing direct mail, they're calling, they're trying to find those good off-market deals. Of course, they charge a fee for their services. They're sort of, because they're the middleman there. So where do you find wholesalers? Places like BiggerPockets.com and ConnectedInvestors.com, through Facebook groups that may specialize in investing or multifamily. LinkedIn's also a really good one. And ask for referrals from other investors. If you know someone that has dealt with wholesalers and had a good experience, those are your best referrals. Keep in mind they are a middleman, and you need to be cautious and know exactly who you're dealing with. Number three, Facebook groups. There are a number of Facebook groups out there where you can connect with other investors. There are specialized groups for multifamily, for small multis, a number of different areas, and all you have to do is do a search in Facebook to find some of those. Number four, direct mail. This is really the mainstay right now for us in terms of direct-to-seller activities. You can get your lists to mail to from places like ListSource or Prospect Now. The mail, direct mail list that you get can also be your target for phone calls and other trying to get a hold of direct owners. You sort by criteria once you get your list or start putting that list together. Write a compelling letter and try to obtain email and phone numbers along with the addresses. Number five, cold calling. Once you have that list in hand, then you can start trying to locate the actual owners. And it gets more difficult with larger properties, of course. There'll be LLCs owning properties and trying to trace them down. So you might have to hire a skip tracer to identify owners. And there are a number of good skip tracers out there. They may charge, you know, anywhere from 50 cents to $5 a name to get you that phone number. In some cases, they can even get you the cell number of the owners. Number six, Craigslist. This should be built in. There are folks that have properties that really don't know how to sell them. Maybe they've owned them for 30 years and they're just looking to get rid of them. With Craigslist, you can set up, there are some software programs that actually will go through and regularly scan looking for properties for sale. You could also hire a virtual assistant to scan these too. Or you can place an ad saying that you're looking to buy properties, define your criteria, and see if you can get some interest that way. Number seven, eBay. Same thing with with eBay is that some people don't know where to list their properties, so they'll put it on eBay, and you'll be surprised. There are some properties that'll appear on there, not as many as you would think, but there are properties that are legit, and you just have to make sure you do your proper due diligence. Number eight, for rent ads. Okay, if there are people that are looking for tenants, these may be owners that are having difficulty finding tenants for their property. I think it probably worked best for smaller properties, but if you can track down the owner from these for rent ads and can talk to them directly and let them know that you're interested in buying their property, that's also a good track to take. And then there are those people that have difficulties with things, and they've had health violations on their property. So you can look at check county and city records, and some people just want to get rid of the property. They're tired of having to deal with those things. So those records are public records that you can access. Number 10, there are the standard real estate portals. And now, of course, everybody's probably thinking of this. Yes, I have access to MLS or major listing portals like Realtor.com, Zillow, Trulia, Redfin. This is sort of a typical place a lot of people go, and they try to get the listings right as they come to market, or on the other side, look for those that have been on the market a real long time. And this is also good for multis, because sometimes someone will have an apartment and they don't know any commercial brokers, so they'll go with their realtor friend who will list their 17, 20, 40 unit apartment. So those should be scanned on a regular basis also. Of course, we use LoopNet too, and LoopNet, a lot of people say, well, these are the properties that are already just not either overpriced or not the best, and so what you're looking for on there, for example, for us, just do a search by FSBOs, which are for sale by owners. These are people who are, there's not a broker there, and you have an opportunity to deal directly with the seller, especially those that have been listed for a longer period of time. Then there's also those properties that have been recently taken off the market on LoopNet that you can look at by going to loopnet.com/apartment-building-sold, for example. And maybe they didn't have any luck selling, and now you can reach them after they've listed it for a long period of time. They might be a little bit more open to negotiations. Property managers are great resources. These are people that are dealing with property owners all the time, and they will know distressed properties or people that are positioning themselves to sell. And if you can get to them first, of course, you have an opportunity to get be able to make a good offer. Appraisers and inspectors. A lot of times these are the first people that are called when somebody is interested in selling. Maybe they just want to find out what their property is worth, and they may hire these folks to come in to give them a ballpark on the price so that maybe they're not sure if they want to sell. But if you can get a hold of an appraiser or inspector I know somebody that might be interested in selling, that might be a good contact. Auctions. Auctions are still a good place. You can find distressed or foreclosed properties. Places like auction.com or Bid for Assets. These are places that will list properties that are, maybe there's tax issues, or maybe somebody inherited the property. They just want to get rid of it, and they just hand it over to the auctions to try to get the best price they can. Also, Google Maps. I mean, this is, a lot of times when people are looking for single family homes, they do driving for dollars. Well, you could do sort of cruising or mapping online for dollars as well, where you can identify top neighborhoods in your target market. And literally with Google Maps, go up and down the streets. This is the street view, and look at different properties on a street. Now, again, make sure that you'll see the the date that that photos were taken, so you kind of know how old that is or how recent it is. But you could go through like a B neighborhood and try to identify C-looking properties. Once you have the address of the property, you can start the tracking to find the owner of the property. Number 16, apartment vendors. Now, these are people that supply apartments with services: electricians, carpet installers, roofers, plumbers, AC professionals, pool repair persons, and lawn care professionals. They're involved in the servicing of apartment communities, and they may likely have insider information on communities that are being neglected. Number 17, eviction records. This is public information. You can go in and find the apartments that are having difficulties with tenants. And, you know, you may have some guy that's been managing this property himself for 20 years, and he's just tired of all the evictions and having to deal with tenants. And, you know, these would be a good prospective people to contact. Also, I had mentioned a little bit earlier, too, old listings. Number 18, old listings on MLS or LoopNet that are over 6 months old. They haven't been able to get the properties to sell at the price that they want. They might be open for negotiation. Number 19, real estate investors. Now, this is something that we should all be doing, is contacting regularly connect with other investors by phone, at REI meetings, meetups, or just regularly for coffee. It should be a regular part of people's schedules to connect with these people. Real estate is a relationship business. That really is the number one thing. And you need to have folks that you can talk to. These are people that might know other properties. Maybe there was a property that came across their desk that is a good property, but it doesn't meet their criteria. If they know what you're looking for, you want to be top of mind for them to say, hey, you know, this property wasn't for us, but maybe you might be interested. Or maybe they know other people that are selling. And finally, the last one, foreclosures. Now, foreclosures have always been a good market to find properties under market, but a lot of people don't know that there are also, as well as single family homes, there are a number of apartments that also go through foreclosure as well. This is a little bit harder to find, but there are bank websites that you can go to find information. And in our show notes, I'm going to have a bunch of links that you can go to find out more about where to find apartment foreclosures, and even some online portals for that. In summary, if you want to implement any of these strategies, you really need to plug this into your daily schedule. And I think it first starts with looking at developing a plan. Identify your markets. If you're going to hire, let's say, virtual assistants or bird dogs to help you, you know, locate these properties, you have to purchase mailing lists. Start talking to the mailing list companies and laying out criteria for what you're looking for. And then you set up your mailings, where you're mailing to your 3 to 5 top markets every 30 to 60 days. Set your schedule also to call 50 people on your target market list. These could be people that are going to, names that you've obtained through your skip tracer that you can talk specifically to owners. You'll also want to meet with other investors and referral sources, maybe bankers or realtors or what have you. Meet once a week for coffee. Just put it on your schedule that you're going to sit down with somebody and build and strengthen your local network. And for those that you can't meet with, set up to make 10 networking phone calls per week. You might want to send 20 to 50 emails a week. Again, as part of this effort, it could be to owners. It could also be to folks that could be referral sources. Spending maybe 30 to 60 minutes of a day on online research per day. And then just plug these things, whatever your strategies are, plug them into your daily schedule. A lot of people are doing sort of block scheduling where, this time of the day I'm doing this time of the day I'm doing that, and make that a regular part of your strategy. If you continue doing that over time, you're going to get results. You're going to be able to latch on to some great properties and be able to move forward with your real estate investing goals. Well, that's it for today. Please note all dog listeners, everything presented here today, and especially the links, there's a lot of links in today's broadcast, but they can all be accessed through our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to be looking for the episode with 20 best ways to find off-market deals. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.